Hey y'all, before we get started, we wanted to let everyone know that this episode will include discussions about domestic abuse, sexual assault, and suicide. We know that these topics are tough for some, so please take care of yourself and skip this one if you need to.
And he handcuffed me to a gas meter.
Where was everybody else?
Sitting there. They were sitting there and they were laughing. They were watching. They were laughing. And he was like, I'm not going to uncuff you until you say you're going to go out and date with me.
You are now tuned in to the dopest podcast, What's Been Better, with Sly and Lori's Spit and Chop Gang. So buckle up your seatbelts and open up your mind. What's Been Better is about to go live.
Okay, so we're back with part two. If you have not heard the beginning of Erica's story, please go back and listen to part one of her breakthrough. And again, you know that we cuss, so please do not get offended by how we emphasize. Yeah. All right, so Erica, please continue with your story. Where we left off, you had just been released from your kidnapper. He had the audacity to give you just $60 and act like that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
As well,
and $60, and I'll give you money for what, you know, like,
right,
give you money, right, at all, like as though you were a prostitute or something,
right? And I think for him it was hush money.
Mm.
And so with that, you know, he dropped me off right where, you know, I was supposed to be, at my mom's friend house.
Mm.
Now mind you, it is every bit of like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So he had me for hours.
Yeah.
Mm. And with that, you know, when he dropped me off, I just sat on my mom's friend. I sat on her step and I cried and I was banging on the door and there was no answer. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. You got to go home. You know? So I'm going home. I'm walking because, mind you, this is one side of town to the next, not too far, you know. So I'm walking home and I come in the house and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning now. And I sit down, my little sister's sitting there, she's watching TV, and I sit down and I had the bag and I threw the bag and I just sat on the couch and I just put my head in my hands and I just bawled. I just started crying. And my sister, she looked at me and she said, "What is wrong with you?" And I told her. And she was like, "What?" Yeah, I told my sister. And mind you, my sister, she has a physical different ability.
Okay.
I don't like saying people have disabilities. She has a different ability.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so with that, you know, when I told her what happened, she was like, "Oh my God." She was so petrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran upstairs. I ran upstairs to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned on the tub and I ran water in the tub. I poured bleach in the tub.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I got in the tub and I just was in there crying. And I literally was like, you know what? Just drown yourself.
Mm.
Wow.
And I went under the water and I don't know. I just felt like something pulled me up.
Oh.
And so when I was getting myself, like, you know, I was still crying, you know, the mirror had fogged up. You know how the bathroom mirror can fog up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wiped the mirror with my hand,
mm-hmm.
you know. And looking back at me, I saw my mom
mm-hmm.
in the mirror
mm-hmm.
looking back at me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, "You need to go to Dr. Purcell." That was our doctor.
Mm.
Okay.
And mind you, I'm like, am I tripping?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mom she done passed on. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, all right. You know? And so with that, the next morning I got up super early. I caught the bus, went over to my doctor's office, and before they opened up, I was there, and the nurse, one of her nurses. And so when I told the nurse what happened, and she said, "Okay, this is what I'm going to do." She told the doctor what happened, and the doctor, you know, because she knew us personally,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor, she said, she needs to go to the hospital. So the nurse, she said, I'm taking her myself.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So she drove me to the hospital. And there they did a rape kit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had contacted the New Jersey State Police. And they came over. And mind you, I'm showing up home with this officer.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the officer, my grandma, she's not home, but my older sister's there. And me and her, we didn't have the best relationship growing up as kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, because she was just different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now that's not the person, that's not the sister you told. You told your other sister, right?
Okay. Right. That's my little sister, mm-hmm. the one that I told.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, this is my older sister. Now, mind you, my older sister, she had her daughter, and she was pregnant with her other child. She had two kids at the time. She was 17 with two kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when this officer shows up and he's asking for my grandma, and she's like, she's not here, you know, what's going on? And he told my sister, and he was like, well, I need to speak with her because, you know, and he asked, do you know XYZ, you know, this person? And she was like, yeah. And the officer said, well, we need to, you know, like, we need to talk to him. We need to, you know, basically, like, he needs to come with us.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told my sister what happened, my sister, she was like, ooh. So she got on the phone, and she called my cousin.
Okay.
And my cousin immediately comes around the house, all right? And, I mean, she is, like, in attack mode. She's
on
in
you?
Attack mode to me, yes. And so she comes and she attacks me. We are in there fighting, and I'm not going to lie to you, honey. I'm tearing her ass up.
Well, where's the cop when all this is going on?
The cop had left.
Oh.
He had just left, you
okay.
know. So it was almost like simultaneously. And so, you know, and she, her words, it was, you always lying on people. And, you know, and it was like, wow. And I'll tell you what, I told her, I said, that's okay. I said, you ain't got to believe me. I said, but bitch, you got a daughter too. I said,
yeah.
And I told her, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he already wasn't, you know, sort of like fucking around, you know, fucking
right.
with her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had my little bag, you know, and I just grabbed my bag and I left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had
where
left
did you
home.
Go?
I didn't know where I was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I knew
okay.
that my mom's friend wasn't reliable because she wasn't
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she told me she was going to be,
right.
with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, I just walked. And I remembered my godmom in, you know, she was close,
mm-hmm.
you know, close enough for me to walk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over there and I told her what happened. And I just was like, I just said, I can't go back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, my godmom's niece, she confirmed some stuff. She said, I believe you. She said, because when I was 16 and I was going to the, you know, it was a popular motorcycle club,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
was going there and he kept trying to get at her.
The same
person?
Okay.
Same person. Trying to get at her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she rejected him and he picked her up by her neck and slammed her on the car. And told her, I will fuck you right here in front of everybody.
Wow.
And if it was not for her uncle, who just so happened to be there, you know, like, he done basically had to hit this man with a brick to get him off his knees,
wow.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, where was your stepdad when all this was going on?
Okay, so my stepdad, because my mom had passed away,
mm-hmm.
he didn't, you know, he couldn't handle it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he couldn't handle losing my mom
mm-hmm.
and my grandma, you know, had become in charge of the house. And of course, you know, just the whole Christian way.
As, and the matriarchy and all
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
I get and you. So, I get you.
Well, did he and your mom have any children?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. And it's so funny because he asked my mom to marry him so many times, and my mom's like, no.
Oh, so she just
she loved him, but she doesn't want to get married. You
I
know?
Hear you.
And so, you know, that was understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I eventually, you know, told my stepdad, you know, what happened, you know, because he actually heard what happened and he was looking for me, but I was trying to not be seen because this man had threatened
the kid,
my life,
right?
You know,
right.
So, and, so can we fast forward just a little bit?
Yeah.
Does the man get caught? Does he, is there any accountability for
girl,
this person?
Wait a minute. Oh, so let me tell you now. He's known for this, mm-hmm. but because of his bounty hunter status, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and close ties with law enforcement in my home state, it was like, I mean, okay, nothing.
Okay.
Now, with that, the officer from Jersey, he actually did, you know, they started a case, you know, against him.
Okay.
And the prosecutor wanted to, you know, meet with, you know, the guy. And as he's going over there to meet with the prosecutor, the guy's talking to another officer. And he's like, yeah, I bring young girls over here all the time. Did not know that the prosecutor is the person he's going to go meet. And the prosecutor hears this.
Okay.
You know? So with that, it was like, okay. Mind you, I'm 18. I didn't find this out until I was 18. So let me rewind a little bit. So I'm with my godmom and, you know, her, you know, niece and whatever. And I end up meeting, you know, this young man who is now, he's my child's father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, the assault happened in August of 1998. And of course, you go through the whole thing where they give you the birth control and all that kind of stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Met my son's father and, you know, met him in like September. And, you know, come, you know, October. And it's, I find out I'm pregnant in November. And I'm like, okay, you know, listen, it pretty much is what it is. And my son ultimately ended up saving my life at that point in time, when I say saving my life, because I was just like, you know, I was a woman, well, not a woman, I was a teenage girl with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because okay.
I was going to listen. I said, listen, if I see this man again, because he didn't threaten my life, and if I see him, it's going to be his life or mine,
mm-hmm.
you know? But he had been actively looking for me because people had actually told him, oh, yeah, she's over, you know, West Side. And it just so happened to be that the street I was on, his brother lived, had a house up there on that same street. And I had no idea, you know. Nonetheless, though, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to fast forward a little bit. When I was 4 months pregnant, I just so happened to call my cousin. She heard about what happened. Like, she was... So she was pissed. She was pissed with my grandma. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like nothing was done. Because back then, you know, either the state was going to pick up the charges or the parent of, you know, the victim had to press charges, you know?
Right.
Well, the state ended up picking them up, you know. So with that being said, I'm pregnant and I'm like 4 months and I go see my cousin and she's asking me and she calls me Twiggy.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only person in this world that could call me Twiggy and I answer. And so she's like, she says, so what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking me as far as like with the whole baby and, you know, are you ready for this type of responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm 4 months along, you know, and what can I do now?
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And so she said, okay. And so she went ahead and she took me in. She went immediately and filed an ex parte, you know, hearing and was granted custody of me. And I mean, like, she set it up in her 2-bedroom apartment. She made space for me.
Okay.
She turned her back porch into a bedroom for me.
Wow. What did that do for you at that time?
It made me feel like I mattered.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I ask, what did you leaving do to your relationship with your younger sister?
Oh, girl. Oh, my gosh. So, my younger sister was... She was alone, so to speak. You know what I mean? And I still kept in contact with her and whatnot because... I left out the part where eventually my mom's friend did get custody of us. You know, they took, they gave custody to her with my grandma, from my grandma. But, I mean, that was just a money grab for her. Because, again, she was in her addiction. And so she saw dollar signs.
Wow.
You know, income, you know.
And
to feed, you know.
And she neglected you all, too.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, at that point. So, mind you, I had been to three... You know, houses going from pillar to post after all of this, you know, then happened.
Right.
And then when I finally get to my cousin, she's like, yeah, she's like, like, she made me feel hurt. She made me feel validated. You know, she did not, you know, downplay anything that I went through. And so, you know, she started asking around and she came to me one day and she said, Twiggy, she said, I want to talk to you. And she said, what do you want to do about this situation? She said, because you're old enough now where you can file the charges. And she said, because I've asked around. And people that went to school with him said he's always been like that. And so she asked me, she said, do you want to, you know, press charges? And I said, yeah. And I started crying. I was like, yeah, I do. So she set up for us to go meet with the prosecutor over there. And the prosecutor over there, he was the one who revealed to us that he overheard this man telling, you know, this cop, yeah, I bring young girls over here all the time. It ain't nothing, you know.
And when he said over there, he means across state line.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So then now that the prosecutor revealed this, and now that you're like, okay, let's move forward.
Right.
Does this actually go forward? Does something actually happen?
No, ma'am.
Wow.
He's a bounty hunter. And it came out later on that he paid off the prosecutor because they lost the entire file. How
conveniently.
Do you lose the entire file? They lost the evidence. They lost. How do you lose it? You know?
Mercy.
And so
all these cover-ups, man.
Right, and I felt so defeated. I mean, I felt defeated at that point in time. And I was just like, okay, you know what? But you know what? I'm like, bitch, nope. You got to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
So let's put that one down. There's nothing you could do about it. It's happened.
Right.
How do you eventually leave Delaware?
Okay. So, me and my middle school sweetheart got back together. When I was in high school. And by the time I was in, you know, I was a senior in high school, I had custody of my sister. I had my son. I had my own apartment, you know. And so, you know, I was working too, you know, because I was co-op and I was a senior. I only had 3 classes my senior year. And, oh, yeah, might I add, I still managed to keep my grades up. I mean, I graduated with a 3.8 GPA.
How did you do that? That's amazing.
You know what? It was just because I knew that it was some things that needed to be done and needed to be broken. And so with that, you know, I just kept going and got married at 21.
Okay.
Honey, thinking I'm just going to live this life of a military wife and this, that, and the third. And I mean, I couldn't wait to watch this man's dirty drawers, honey. I was in love with this man. You hear me? My middle school sweetheart. Oh, we going to set life together. You know, baby got over to Germany and thought I was, you know, free of the abuse.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. Got over there and went through abuse over there too. But see, my ex, he forgot he married a girl raised in the projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm telling his commander, listen, y'all need to get him because I'm finna send him home to his mama in the pine box.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, cause mm-hmm. I'm over here fighting for my life. Mm. You just fought for my life.
Right.
Yeah. Like I'm tired.
Right.
I'm tired,
right.
Boss.
You need a break at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, damn. And so he gets, you know, he ends up getting kicked out of the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
that can happen. Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But the sad part is he had already started building up stuff before I got there. I ain't even know about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is what we doing?
Building up what?
Oh, girl, he was on the verge of getting kicked out for interacting with a minor.
Mm.
15 oh. years old.
Mm,
so this is just a pattern.
Girl, listen. And I'm like, what the hell?
Mm.
Like, you right. know, you over yeah. here doing you. And then, you know, but wait, he was already having beef with one of the staff sergeants. And don't get me wrong. It was a lot of racial stuff going on. You know, that a lot of people don't talk about that kind of stuff. And, you know, that goes on in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with black soldiers and the racism that they experienced and all that kind of stuff. And so mm-hmm. I guess he needed to feel like, you know, a man, whatever. Anyway, so that abuse then went on and whatever. And mind you, I always said I wasn't going to have any more kids until I got married.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I did that. But baby, because you marry him, that don't mean you're supposed to have kids with him. I wish somebody had told me that.
Yeah.
Because when I was getting right. married, all my family was so happy and this, that, and the third. And, you know, and I'm just thinking I'm just going to live this good life, mm-hmm. you know, over there mm-hmm. and whatnot. And, yeah, you know, I could have been that young wife at 21 to just shut the fuck up and take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I could have looked and turned a blind eye mm-hmm. to, you know, everything that was going on. But I was fucking tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I could believe it.
Yeah, I was tired. I done fought for my life. I got my son, you know what I'm saying? Okay, my son, his father, you know, reluctantly didn't want my son to go, but he, you know, was like,
allowed
okay.
It. Yeah.
You know, exactly. Right. And so with that being said, it was like, all right, now we get back over here to the States. Because mind you, he done got put out of the military, mm-hmm. you know, for just his long list mm-hmm. of everything. Now, mind mm-hmm. you, I knew that he was not the same person from when he came back from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going okay. to his commander, like, listen, y'all need to get him some help because mm-hmm. he's not the same person. His commander, you know, basically was telling me, you know, you can't tell us that he needs help. He has to be the one to tell us.
No.
And I'm like, you know what? And, you know, and mind you, in between all of this, you know, if you've known anybody who's been to a war zone and have come back, they don't mm-hmm. come back the same.
No.
They dealing with trauma. They mm-hmm. using alcohol to try to, mm-hmm. you know, to yep. deal with it. Sometimes mm-hmm. drugs, you know, all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, it was just like, okay, you know, at this point, like it is what it is. I'm trying to tell him, like, listen, you need to tell these people that you need to get help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least start building your medical file. Y'all
right.
know men don't
right.
think like we do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
No.
Now, is he in Germany saying this or,
yeah,
or back in the States
now? Okay.
We're
in Germany.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, he went with his tail tucked between his legs, dishonorably discharged. And, you know, we get back here to the States and they like, okay, and mind you, I'm pregnant with our daughter.
Mm.
Okay.
We have planned this child, you know,
mm-hmm.
and against my better judgment, at that point in time in my life, you know, because this man, oh, I don't have any kids, I'm gonna kill myself, and mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, okay, well, if a child gonna save your life,
manipulation,
you know,
though, that's manipulation, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
See, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize that at that time,
you
right.
don't know what you don't know,
mm-hmm.
right? And see, and I had my one son at the time, mm-hmm. I was good, you know,
mm-hmm.
like if we made it, we was fine. If we didn't, we was gonna yeah. be fine, you know,
right, right. right.
And so, you know, we get back over here to the States. He got put out the military, this, that, and the third, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. Because mind you, I actually went into labor with my daughter. 3 and a half weeks early from fighting with this man, you know. And I mean, like, it was so bad. And I was like, Lord have mercy, you know. I'm carrying this child. And then on top of that, I didn't feel supported while I was pregnant. Because, sir, I agreed to carry this child for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't have the support. I mean, he was just not a good husband. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, you know, I go and I have my daughter. And, of course, he's not there because there was just a whole domestic situation that led up to me going into labor. So, no, you can't come in here with this woman. We don't know what you're capable of, you know?
Right, right.
And so I'm like, you know what? I done had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when I found out, you know, he was cheating with his best friend's cousin and this, that, and the third. And it just so happened to be the same girl that sat at our wedding congratulating me and this, that. Girl, when I tell you, I could have tore Jesus off a cross, honey. Do you hear me? Like, I just could have, listen, I said, you know what? And I ain't going to lie, I reacted like any 24-year-old wife would have done at that time. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Because, bruh, like, you bold enough to have this bitch in my house, you know what I'm saying? And
y'all,
she's smiling and kicking in my face and, like, what? And then you screwing her, and then you get her pregnant?
Oh, girl.
One thing I don't do. No, ma'am.
Girl, where my fan at? Shit.
One thing I don't do. I'm like, listen, if you come in with kids, that's fine. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to accept them kids.
We're not starting a whole new situation.
Yeah, but you going outside, you making a, okay, that's where you want to be. Cool. All right, go on.
So what did you do?
I divorced his ass.
I bet you did.
And so, guess what? He ain't had, but by the time I got done with his ass, he ain't had shit. Okay?
Well.
And it was sad because he literally left everything on the table with the military. You know what I'm saying? When all he had to do was just be honest about. Right. You know? And so with that, I was like, okay, you know, but baby, let me tell you something. One thing about some of these women, they think that they get the best thing since sliced bread when they are messing with somebody else's husband and it's that dessert and don't know.
Yes.
And baby, she quickly learned.
Mm-hmm.
She quickly learned. But I'm going to tell you, God got jokes, and I'm not going to lie to you about this, baby. Let me tell you something. I found out she was pregnant, and I said, okay, you know what? It is what it is. I divorced him. But of course, you know, I didn't divorce him until, our divorce was final 3 days after his daughter was born, you know. But I ain't going to lie. Honey, I had to prove a point. Oh, I'm still going when I want to. If I call him, he going to come. You know what I'm saying? Girl, let me tell you, God got jokes. Because, baby, a couple of weeks after that divorce was final and his other daughter was born, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, no.
With my youngest son. Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yeah. But see, let me tell you, one thing about a man, they gonna lie when they not trying to, you know, be honest. And he kept telling this girl, no, that's not my baby. You know, this, that. I mean, girl, it was a whole thing. I mean, it was, I ain't gonna lie. I done got charges behind this whole situation, everything. I mean, because I was like, you motherfuckers is playing in my face. Okay.
Well, it's enough to provoke you.
Yeah,
especially when you have all these other things going on.
Yeah.
You can snap just like that.
Girl, I was in my 20s, honey.
So, okay. Divorce final.
Mm-hmm.
Second daughter comes.
Well,
the extra daughter comes.
Mm-hmm.
You are now pregnant.
Yes.
With your third
what
child.
What do you do?
Girl, you great crack up at this. Wait a minute. Because when I found out
how
I was pregnant.
How is there more?
Listen. Right. Oh, yeah. Because look, when I was supposed to get my tubes tied, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I wasn't feeling like myself. So I said, let me go ahead and make me an appointment. Go to my appointment. Girl, this woman come out talking about congratulations, you're pregnant. I said, who? I said, who's pregnant? She said, you. I said, ma'am. I said, I'm getting my tubes tied tomorrow. She said,
this cannot be.
Right.
She was like, well, you're going to have to reschedule that in another 9 months.
Woo.
Girl. When I tell you, I was like, I mean, for real, God, like for real. And so, you know, I'm not, I went ahead and I was like, okay, do I really want, you know, this other child, you know, whatever. But girl, tell you, God got jokes. So I, now mind you, there have been altercations with me and this girl. I had a no, well, she had a no contact order on me. Okay. And, I didn't know where this girl worked at, but I was looking at my options because I was like, I don't really want no more kids. So I go to the clinic. Okay. Go to the clinic. They got people out there protesting. Hey, you don't kill your baby. And this, that, and third. And I'm like, okay, you know, I walk right on past them. Now, mind you, this was the doctor's office that I used to go to for my prenatal care with my oldest son. They just so happened to sell it to, you know, the hitman. And so
that's a different way to put that wild. That I would have never called it, but all right.
and so
I thought they were helpers, but hey,
well, okay. So listen, I go in, and mind you, I made my appointment, you know, beforehand. And I go the day of my appointment, lo and behold, who's standing there behind the goddamn desk? Her ass. Talking about, well, what you doing here? I looked at her. I said, well, what you mean what I'm doing here? I said, I'm here, you know, I'm here to be seen. You can't be here. You want me to call your probation officer? Girl, I was on probation at the time and everything. Oh, yeah, it was well, I mean, like, when I tell you I went off. Yeah, so things led up to. And so with that, like, she was like, oh, you trying it. And I told her, I said, girl, I said, if you don't shut the fuck up, I said, you got these people in here thinking it is what it is when it's not what it's not. Because if it was what it was, I wouldn't be in here. Okay? I wouldn't be in here getting ready to get services from your so-called man, my ex-husband. Who I'm just divorced from. You understand what I'm saying? So she goes, she talks to her office manager. They come out and tell me, oh, but we can't see you today. And, you know, whatever. And I told them, I said, it's either now or never. Y'all better send that bitch to lunch.
So you couldn't get any, because of her?
Because
it would be violating.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Girl. Wow. So this is how you wind up having...
Yes.
The third child.
Yeah.
On a technicality.
On a technicality. I said, God got jokes. You hear me?
Well, yeah. He was meant to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was my best, my peanut. That's my baby. You know.
How old is he now?
He's 15 now. Wow. And so, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, I'm here with two teenagers now. I'm my oldest son is 24, you know. I got a granddaughter and everything. So life has went on, you know. And now after this whole divorce and this, that, and the third, and you know, these two kids and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we done been divorced for 8 years and it was like, okay. Now, in between that time, I had another traumatic experience. Because after I divorced my ex-husband, I waited a year to start dating. I gave myself time to heal, you know, which I felt like I did pretty good, you know. Then I met this one gentleman, you know, I actually met two guys within weeks apart or whatever. And I was like, you know what, I ain't married to nobody, so I can talk to whoever I want.
Right.
Okay? All right, sis gonna be outside, okay?
Love it.
And so... So, you know, the one guy that I met, you know, he was real genuine. You know, he was real, you know, but the other guy that I met, I just so happened to be feeling him a little more. Lo and behold, why? I had to reevaluate my choices, you know, in men, or what was on me that was attracting these type of men. And so this man that I have been dating for 3 years, like, you know, I shared things with him that that nobody knew, you know, about, you know, me, that I ain't gonna say that nobody knew, because, you know, but I'm saying in an intimate setting, right, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And one thing about somebody who don't have your best interests at heart, what they gonna do is they gonna take what you tell them. And they're going to use it against you.
Absolutely. Yes. Every time. Okay?
And this man end up sexually assaulting me in my house with my kids there. Wow. I mean, I'm fighting. I'm screaming, you know, I'm fighting all of that. All because I broke up with him and I, you know, separated myself from him because I found out he was living a double life. And it was just like, you know, but him being him, he had to have the last say so. And I'm going to tell you, I was traumatized again because I went through a whole trial. Mind you, I done lost my cousin, you know what I'm saying, that I was very, very close to. Lost my cousin in a single car crash. End up having to have a hysterectomy through all of this, you know what I mean? And so with all of that, I was just so tired again. I was drained. I was like, how you keep getting up? You like, you know, when you getting your behind kicked, you know, the best thing to do is to just protect yourself, you know, but I just kept getting up. And that was my way of protecting myself, you know, fighting back. We went through a whole trial, you know, because I reported everything. And it was really, really, you know, and I could talk about it to this day. Without crying, that's how I know I'm healed from it.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
That right there, that was very, it was traumatizing for me because this man had knew what I've been through.
And he used that against you.
And I'm not going to lie to you. At this point, I was like, you know what? Oh, somebody finna get offed. Somebody's finna get off. But when that whole situation happened and I literally, you know, went through that trial, and you know, because I'm gonna tell you, the thing that burnt me up was when I made the report, the officer said to me, are you sure you want to report this? He was like, because you know, y'all used to date.
And you know, makes a difference,
right? And I'm like, you know,
as
and
if
I'm like,
they're not gonna believe you or something,
right? Exactly. And so my thing is like, how many times you gotta tell somebody no?
Right
because I know I put up a fight, and I know I screamed, cried, bit, fought, said no over 30 times. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. And no means no.
Right. This man went into hiding. And they wouldn't say, they wouldn't put a warrant out for him. They was like, oh, we just want to talk to him. And I'm like, what the fuck is up with Wilmington police always just wanting to talk to somebody?
So I have to ask the same question I asked in the previous episode. Was there accountability for this person?
Well, we went to trial.
Okay.
There were a jury of all men.
What?
Jury of all men. His attorney selected it like that.
Oh my goodness.
And it was, he was found not guilty.
Of course. Of course.
Of course.
And I was so, listen, when I tell you, I was beyond defeated at this point. And so
I was
just like, you know what? At this point, now mind you, this trial went on February 7th. Valentine's Day, I'm scheduled to have my hysterectomy. And all I know is that I need, because my doctor called me and was like, hey, you know, we can move your appointment up. Can you get here by this time? I said, okay. They said, you need to have somebody here with you. So who I go and get? I go get my grandma. Because she's, you know, I needed somebody there, you know, and she was the closest. So it was like, okay, me being me, I go ahead and they go back and they, you know, prep me and the anesthesiologist is there. And when I tell you, my prayer was, God, I'm tired. If this is all that you have for me, take me while I'm on this table.
Wow. You were tapped out.
Girl, I was done. I was so tapped out. Okay.
And so the hysterectomy came from stress what was the purpose of having this hysterectomy?
I had fibroids and endometriosis and I was in so much pain daily, you know, and it was just like my doctor, she presented the options to me. I mean, hell, I had already had my tubes tied because after my last child, I was like, yeah. Ain't gonna be. I'm not never bringing another kid on this planet for another. You know what I'm saying? For a man, like, period. Right. You know, because I've seen. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm just, you know, and it's. I don't have a dislike for men, but it's just like the men that, you know, I have had these relationships with mm-hmm. has made me, you know, like second guess myself. Like, are you mm-hmm. really, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I get it.
So this is a breakthrough episode. Can we come to the breakthrough?
Absolutely.
When is the moment that you go, okay, Erica, how are we going to take care of ourselves? And how are we going to mm-hmm. actually put mm-hmm. that in place? Mm-hmm. Where is that moment? When is that moment? How is that moment?
Okay. So that happens after I had my hysterectomy.
Okay.
And I had some complications after my hysterectomy. I mean, I actually coded. I had an out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm.
Because you asked for it.
Because you asked for it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching them work on me. I'm like looking mm-hmm. down
above,
at them.
Above, looking down. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I see my best friend. She's in a panic, you know. Mm. And so, you know, I'm hearing them calling the codes. And then I eventually, you know, go back into mm-hmm. my body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so from there.
Well, what was the thing? Because you said I eventually went back. What was the thing that said, girl, go back?
You know what? Because my best friend was panicking, and she was like her kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is going to take care of her kids?
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I guess I'll go back. Shit.
Begrudgingly. Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
But you were tired, and I understand
that. I
was. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I went ahead and, you know, after from that moment, I felt a peace over me.
Mm,
after okay. I came through all of that, I felt a peace. I mean, I was talking to people so calm. It was scary. People was like, is she okay?
Right.
Because I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're not, because I'm just so calm, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. about everything. Why? Because I knew what mm-hmm. chaos looked like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Right, yeah,
and
right.
I had to tell people, you know, one thing about me with life, life has shown me a lot. And in order to know peace, you got to know violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That is so deep.
And I know both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I choose peace.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I made it my mission to eventually get the fuck from out of Delaware
mm-hmm.
because it was nothing okay. but trauma there mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2015, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go. And one of the ladies that I was friends with over in Germany, they moved to Georgia. Me and her mm-hmm. have remained in contact throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, yeah, come on and visit. I went and visited and I liked it. And it's so funny because when I was younger, I always said I wanted to live in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, you know, it kind of just came to pass. But I'm going to tell you, the way that the universe worked, baby, I was able to make my move down here. The moving truck, the deposit for the apartment, everything, I was able to do that on $1,000.
Wow.
Wow.
On $1,000. And I've been here ever since. And
okay.
Then I started, you know, decompressing, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Started decompressing. So, you know, when your body start to decompress, sometimes, you know, it can happen rapidly. Mm-hmm, I mean, yeah. I was, you know, having what they call pseudo seizures, and it was because mm-hmm. of anxiety and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So it wasn't mm-hmm. really seizures, but it was just my body was reacting to the rapid change of
right.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was almost like all of this stuff was being pulled out of me. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like you're purging?
So, or like
yeah,
a detox?
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started painting. And then I remembered, I was like, hold up. I said, before all these people came and almost walked off with my shit, okay? Now I'm talking about like all my good stuff that I loved about me and the stuff mm-hmm. that I was doing,
mm-hmm.
being, you know, a child at heart, but still, you know, taking right. care of, you know, responsibility and all that. And I said, I lost that.
Yep.
And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna start with something simple. So I started painting. I started, you know, just doing random paints, you know.
Okay.
Painting. And then it went on to, you know, other forms of creativity, making mm-hmm. jewelry and,
okay.
you know, and also meditating, mm-hmm. yoga, okay. you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, when I had time to sit still,
right,
and put stuff in perspective,
right,
you know, and it was just like, okay, and when I finally was able to tap into myself,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, you know what, you've been running from something, you know, yeah. all this time, and I mm-hmm. really was, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm spiritually gifted. I don't mm-hmm. tell a lot of people that, but I've always mm-hmm. been, even when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
like I see, you know, and I hear, and mm-hmm. I was, and my mom, she's the, you know, cause my mom used to tell, you know, my aunts and them, I'll leave her alone. You know, she's mm-hmm. just, you know, the imaginary friends. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Erica.
I saw them. Nobody else saw them.
Wow.
Erica, wait till you hear the next episode of What's Been Better.
Oh, girl.
There's a reason. There are no coincidences. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why we are sitting together. There's Come a reason on. Why we are connected. Because when you hear the next episode, you're going to be like, okay, well, because Lori, mm-hmm. are you not having a like?
I'm moment? Tripping.
Yeah.
But everything is in alignment. You know, like Absolutely. There's a reason why things happen. And somebody needs to even hear this story. Mm-hmm. And then Absolutely. Also to hear how it lines up, because it's similar to a lot of different stories that we've heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, your story, you know, the details are different, of course.
Yeah.
But it's similar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the crazy thing is that it's almost like the trauma is there to, you know, distract you from what your actual purpose is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What mm-hmm. your gifts are.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, and I've had people just walk up to me and tell me, you know, how, you know, spiritually gifted I was. And I'm mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. yeah, okay. You know, and of course I didn't want that shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't
want it when I was yeah. younger, because mm-hmm. I didn't know the power that it held. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
I didn't know what to do with it.
But somebody else knew that too.
So yeah, that's what I was
the
say.
Evil entities know that mm-hmm. too, and that's why mm-hmm. they're sending these bounty attack. Hunters. Yes,
mm-hmm.
constantly
mm-hmm.
under attack. And mm-hmm. then it just so happened that you were laid vulnerable. Your mom goes,
right.
your dad goes, and all mm-hmm. these different things mm-hmm. leave you vulnerable. Your grandma's mm-hmm. not around. The friend is, you know, and right there, so you can be swept up and taken.
Okay. Right. And I have one last question before we wrap this up. Very important question. How and when did you start gardening?
Oh, girl, I've always, we grew up, girl, we grew up in the only house in the projects with a damn garden.
Okay.
It may have been a little flower garden starting, Uh-oh. You know, Don't. But then as I got older, I was like, you know, I just like to play in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? When I was a kid. Like, you know, right. the mud pots right. and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that that was really
right.
natural to us. And so, mm-hmm. I've every right. house that I've moved to, I've always had a garden, you know.
Okay.
And so, what did I do this time for you? Absolutely. This time here, for me, it was like, okay, I need to be able to nurture outside of my children. You know,
mm-hmm.
and don't get me wrong, I'm not a perfect mom, baby. We and my kids and had our little, you know, mm-hmm. as parents do, as teenagers do, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I needed to find, you know, healing with it. And the gardening was just a next step to,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. to the healing, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I decided I was going to do a vegetable garden, you know, because I was like, you know, what I was looking at, I said, wait a minute, I'm in the grocery store. Like, why the fuck is it $1 million for some cabbage and you know, potatoes and carrots and stuff? Yeah. I'm like, I said, oh, hell no.
Right.
I can do it myself. I can do it.
Okay, because let me save me a couple dollars. Let me put my yes. best interest at heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And right. so I said, you know what? I moved, you know, because I'm in the process of waiting for this market to do something for me to be able to buy. You mm-hmm. understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm yeah. doing raised bed gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. so, and don't get me wrong, it's a trial and error for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. I'm learning about the blight, you know, on the cucumber plants and tomato plants.
Yes.
Girl, listen, when I tell you, when I saw your video about the soda water, about the plant beer,
with the club soda, with the plant soda. Yeah.
Plant soda. And I said, well, I'm curious. I need to know, like, what is this baby talking about? Because I done planned it all, you know, I got my little stuff going and it's looking like it's trying to do something. But girl, and so when you posted that, I said, and something just told me, look and see, you know, like when you said soda, water, I Googled it. And it was just so happened to be that I Googled it and it was like, yeah, you know what? Club soda is actually good for the garden soil.
Lori, I don't know if you saw that whole saga. This is who actually was like, but it's really a thing.
I didn't know either. Because I said, but see, one thing I know, these babies be knowing.
These kids be knowing.
And that's why I was like, hold on, wait a minute, sis. I think your nephew might be on to something.
Yeah.
So the young people done hip y'all to the game?
It was my nephew. I mixed the fertilizer. Mm-hmm. You know, I water with the wine bottles.
Yeah.
I mixed the fertilizer and the water in the wine bottle and I put it in there. And so it was kind of fizzy looking. And when he came through my garden, he was like, this looks like plant soda, Auntie. And I jokingly said in my video, my nephew says this looks like soda.
Oh, so and you so, didn't even know that it was a thing. Oh,
so
wow.
Erica was in the comments like, well, what kind of soda did you use? And I'm like, it's not, what are you talking about? Like, don't, I think my video was like, don't listen to 4-year-olds. Like,
right, yeah, she did.
I was like, don't listen to 4-year-olds. 4-year-olds make up stuff,
but
whatever.
He actually knew.
And this is the best part about TikTok. You can respond with videos.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kept responding to each other video after video because I was like, child, that is not soda. Stop it. So then she sent a video back that was like a Google. It was just a screen of Google saying club soda is a thing. Wow. I responded with a whole video. I went to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Got a grocery basket full of club soda and was like, here we go.
And so it works really well.
Oh my God, it works.
Girl, her plants. Oh, so I'm like, well, wait a minute now.
Well, so I wonder if it works on houseplants too then.
I'm pretty sure it does.
It does, because I actually, I use, what I do, I do half, you know, water, half club soda, you know, just to kind of get them, you know, acclimated. And it actually does. It's good for the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and even if you can use club soda with minerals. In it too, and that helps too.
Okay.
But baby, when I saw how them tomato plants took off, I said, well, wait a damn minute. I said, hold on.
That was a scary time because I was like not prepared. I legitimately was not prepared for them to grow that fast because it was like 36 hours. And they were at here to, I was looking up at them and they were starting to tilt over. And so I was like in the video, like, y'all, you're in trouble. I had to get rebar, like actual rebar to use to prop them. It was,
wow.
But I appreciate you, Erica, for challenging me because I surely was like, sis, this is not soda.
So, you know, it's interesting. I'm sorry to cut y'all. I'm just thinking about how you all have some similar backgrounds and how you end up gardening, right? Like this heals your soul.
Absolutely.
Because it's almost like you have this trauma story, but the gardening and getting back into nature really changes things.
It's like a different kind of trauma bond. It's a healing bond.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I'm a trauma bonds, baby. I'm like, because I'm going to tell you something. Me, myself, you know, I have pulled myself out of the dating game for, you know, a while, only because I had to realize that through all of my trauma, I became a mother. You understand what I'm saying? I became a wife. Still had more trauma, had more loss, and you know, life just kept happening. Don't get me wrong, I had a lot of wins in between this trauma. You understand what I'm saying? I had a lot of wins. But at the same time, the trauma was so heavy where it was almost like it could have took me out, you know? And so with that, I pulled myself out of the dating game because I'm like, listen, I need to get to know Erica.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. One thing, when it comes to this peace that I have found, ain't nobody going to interrupt that. Do you hear me? Let me tell you something. I protect this peace at all costs. I'm sitting in my peace room right now, as you can see, my little, you know.
Yes.
And you know, because I am a spiritualist, you know, and I'm very heavy on, you know, energy, very big on energy. And I'm not going to lie, I had to pull myself away from that too. You know what I'm saying? Because I found myself always like, you know, needing to know and this, that, and the third, and whatever, you know. And I was like, wait a minute now, listen here. You starting to sound like a little crazy person, you know, because you done went, you know, and you got to be able to pull yourself back because you cannot be up here all the time. You understand what I'm saying? I do enjoy a good time. I like to have people around me who is in a like, you know, energy. You understand what I'm saying? Not necessarily like-minded, you know, because it's okay to agree to disagree, you know, because we're not all the same. You know, our viewpoints are different. However, if you coming over here with some negative energy and you and it's all extra heavy and this, baby, I ain't got to wait for you to leave. I'm leaving. Because I'm in control of what I allow to go on in my life. Exactly. And so the gardening, yeah, that really helped me out, you know, when it came to a part of my healing.
So right now you're single, right?
I am very, girl, I'm happy.
Okay.
I am, girl, I'm happily single.
Okay. You have oh my God, you have such a beautiful breakthrough. And I'm so thankful that you shared with us this transition in life, because you went on a whole journey of really learning who you are. Absolutely. That's what that sounds like to me. And it came full circle. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you for
sharing that story with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know, you know, at some point, it may not be today, you know, but somebody, some woman, some, you know, young person, some man, they're going to hear, you know, this, and they are going to be inspired. Because when I tell you, it's been plenty of times I was tired.
Let me ask you this real quick before we wrap up. What's happening with your youngest sister now, and what's happening with your oldest sister and your brother?
Okay. Well, with my younger sister, unfortunately, there's been some things going on with her children. I'm not going to make that, you know, public or whatever, but she's been having a rough time too. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been trying to get her down here, you know, or just get her away from Delaware, because people got to understand it is a whole world outside of your state, your block. Like, just please go and see. I promise you, you will love it. Yeah. And if you don't, then fine, go back.
Right.
But nonetheless, now my older brother, he's doing well. You know, for himself. I'm actually, I'm proud of him, considering from the lifestyle that he was, you know, living before. And you know, the saddest thing is, the person that actually shot my brother in his head back then was his best friend. Come on. Because everybody ain't your damn friend. Right?
True.
And so, and with my other sister, my older sister, I'm really, baby, I don't do toxic. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
I don't do toxic.
We'll leave it at that. We will leave it at that.
That's how it can be sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Absolutely. I love her, but at the same time, I didn't got to like you.
And you can look from a distance. That's another point. Yeah.
Don't come around here with all that foolishness. I ain't got time for none of that.
Yeah.
Baby, see you, bye.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I get going real quick.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell the people where they can find you.
I am on TikTok. My page is Page of Balance, you know. And you, like I said, you get a little bit of everything.
Okay, cool.
So, well, just be inspired.
Let's be done for the day. This was cool. This was a whirlwind of a story. Lots of takeaways. Lots of takeaways. But thank you, Erica, for joining us.
Absolutely.
Please come back with other stories, other things that you want to share, if you just want to come and have a good time.
Yeah.
Talk about current events, talk about gardening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you have not already, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. We love positive reviews because they help others find our show. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
All right.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson, and you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.